Good morning.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you all here on this fourth Sunday of Advent here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's not Christmas Eve. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent. We will have Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock. That is when Mary, you know, the birthing process will start. And the candlelight service is going to be at 7 o'clock. We might have some extra kids here. Just so you know, sometimes kids can be a little squirmy, and they're not really great at being absolutely quiet. So please have patience with them and provide them some grace. There is no Bible study or Sunday school next week. Because next week is Lessons and Carols. So that'll be a good time. I can't think of any other announcements. No. We're right there. All right, with that, let us place our cell phones in their most meditative and prayerful settings and gather to proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For the Mighty One has done great things, and holy is God's name. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Thank you.
on this fourth Sunday of Advent, let us confess the sins that have kept us from glorifying and enjoying our God. Merciful God, as we watch and wait for signs of your expansive love, forgive and narrow thinking. As we repent in the wilderness with John, we confess that we often lack the imagination to testify to the coming light. As we visit the home of Elizabeth, we lament our loss of wonder and our failure to recognize miracles among us. Even as we hear the witness of the angels and shepherds, we confess that we do not make haste to go and see Christ. Forgive our apathy and small-mindedness. When the wait is over and all is finished, open our minds to recognize the strength and wisdom of Christ, God with us. Amen. Hear this good news. In Christ, there is strength and wisdom, expansive love and everlasting grace. We are forgiven and transformed to go and proclaim the wonder of the one who is coming. Friends, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
During Advent, we look to the one who knows
our most pressing concerns.
From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
During Advent, we look to the one who knows our innermost being.
From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Today, we light four candles. The first candle reminds us of our hope in knowing Jesus as our wonderful counselor. The second candle reminds us of our joy in proclaiming Christ as our mighty God. The third candle grants us comfort knowing that Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We light the fourth candle to remind us that Jesus is our everlasting Father. In a world of change, mobility, and transition, we affirm that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Gracious Lord, as we continue our Advent journey, we acknowledge that very little in our world stays the same. Thank you for being our everlasting Father, who is eternally present with us. We pray this in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us now join our voices with Mary, who celebrates God's greatness and sings of God's blessings for all who are poor and oppressed. Eternal God, we pray for the world, that our warring ways may be overturned even now through the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ, for nothing is impossible with you. We pray for the mission of your church, that we may proclaim the good news of the age as we rejoice in the gift of our Savior. We pray for all who suffer, that we may feed the hungry and lift up the lowly through the power of your holy and life-giving Spirit. We lift up those in our congregation who are seeking healing and peace, as well as those who proclaim great joy and thanksgiving in your name. We especially give thanks for the successful surgery of Roy this past week. It's my understanding that he is healing well at home. God, we ask that you please watch over and comfort all of your people. We pray for your creation, that we may safeguard its well-being from generation to generation to your honor and glory. We remember before you those who have died and pray for those who will die today, that they may rest with you eternally in your kingdom where there is no end. Through Christ, with Christ, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we magnify you, Almighty God, as we pray together the words your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, To a Maid Whose Name Was Mary. Please be seated. God, the source of all good things, has given us what we need. In joyful response, let us offer our gifts, the fruit of our labors and the dedication of our hearts for loving service in the name of Christ. God, your love is magnified in the gift of your Son, whom you so freely share with us. Bless these gifts that we offer to lift up the lowly and fill the hungry in your coming reign of justice and peace. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading comes from Luke 1, verses 26 through 38 in the New Revised Standard Version. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by this word and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of the ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. May we bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Astonishing God, send your Holy Spirit upon us as we await the coming of your Son. Fill us with good things that we may conceive your reign on earth and glorify you according to your word. through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. So what we have here on the fourth Sunday of Advent is the Annunciation. Oh, wait, I have something. It's not going to make sense to the choir if they don't see what you guys see. So we're going to pass that out. Yeah. So this is the Annunciation. That's what we have on the fourth Sunday of Advent. It's like this story that we've been waiting for, which for what feels like ever, but it's only been 4 weeks. This story we've been waiting for is so close. We can almost touch it. Heaven breaks open for an angel named Gabriel. And Gabriel comes to bring a wholly unexpected announcement. And it's a plot twist for sure. Maybe if you were here last week, you might remember how we were talking about how John the Baptist was often confused for Jesus. Like, he was a bit of a doppelganger. And it's not because they necessarily looked a lot alike that we know of, but it was more because of the similarities found within their words and actions. Well, they had a lot more in common than just their words and actions. These sort of life circumstance similarities followed them throughout their lives, even before conception. Both of these births were unlikely at best. And both of these births were announced to their parents by an angel, a specific angel, Gabriel. But there's a lot of other things going on that have all of these other plot twists going on beyond those similarities. So just before the passage that we read today, Luke tells us about a couple named Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest. Elizabeth is barren, and they're both old. I don't know what old means. Some days I feel old. Some days I don't. But one day, Zechariah is performing his priestly duties. He's offering incense in the temple, and the angel Gabriel appears to him to tell him that Elizabeth will soon have a son, and Zechariah is to name that child John the Baptist. Poor Zechariah. He finds this news a little astonishing. I'm sure none of us would have questioned. He finds it almost unbelievable. And he questions the angel. He and Elizabeth have been praying for a child throughout their entire marriage, and it hasn't happened. And now she's past her prime, and there's no way that she can get pregnant now. Well, Gabriel is a little offended with Zechariah's questioning and strikes him mute until John is born. There's not really any information about what Elizabeth thought of all of this, but when our passage for today starts, we know that Elizabeth is in her sixth month of pregnancy. Gabriel wasn't messing around. What he proclaimed God would do is happening. A woman who tried and tried to conceive without success is now and is now past childbearing age. She's successfully carrying a child in her womb. No one saw that coming. At least Elizabeth and Zechariah certainly didn't. What was considered unimaginable was currently happening. And while this unbelievable thing is happening at Elizabeth's house, Gabriel is sent to Nazareth to talk to a young woman named Mary. She's engaged, but she's not yet married. So that means that she's still living at her parents' house. The marriage hasn't been consummated. And the angel comes and appears and tells Mary she's going to be pregnant with God's son. Personally, I think that her disbelief is a little, it's pretty understandable, if you ask me. This is something that has captured the imaginations of people for 2,000 years. There are hundreds of famous paintings, sculptures, and other depictions of the Annunciation going back as far as the 11th century. Not to mention all of the amateur artists out there who have tried their hand at depicting the Annunciation. It's such a plot twist. This event is such a plot twist in the history of humanity. It is such a rare and difficult to imagine thing. This Annunciation captivates our imaginations so much that artists, they've been pulled to recreate it over and over again. Donatello, Van Eyck, Da Vinci, El Greco, Caravaggio, those are some of the names that we would expect to be associated with depictions of the Annunciation. They're probably some of the most well-known. But even more modern artists like René Magritte and Salvador Dali have tried their hands at depicting the Annunciation. On the screen, I have a painting by Henry Oswald Tanner. It's from the late 19th century. The next time you make it to Philly, make a stop at the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and you can see it in person. You can't miss it. The angel isn't represented by your typical figure in these long flowing robes with wings outstretched, hovering above. Rather, Gabriel here is a bright column of light. And if you see this painting in person, it seems almost as if there is an actual, like, source of light coming out of the painting, that there's a light bulb that you could turn off all of the other lights in the museum, and that painting alone would just illuminate the entire building. You can see here that Mary looks confused. Asua has depicted her as a skinny, knock-kneed teenager. But I think that her expression is so beautifully captured here. Each time that I look at it, I find a little something new, another nuance to that expression. She's wary, but she's curious, cautious, yet bold. This being that has burst into her room is obviously beyond the earthly realm. It's beyond her, beyond our understanding. It's nothing she or we have ever experienced before. Mary is just living her life. The biggest excitement on the horizon is her upcoming nuptials. Mary was a faithful, young Jewish woman who had deep religious convictions. She loved God. She prayed and participated in rituals, but in no way did she ever anticipate the way in which God would insert this major plot twist into her life. I think sometimes, maybe often, we read the story of the Annunciation and we think about what a miraculous event it is. But I think our mistake is to only relegate the Annunciation to a one-time event. I think that sometimes we forget that, as Gabriel told Mary, nothing will be impossible without God. Nothing will be impossible with God. We can't anticipate, and so we don't expect the ways that God will break into humanity, break into human history, break into our lives today to insert a plot twist. We tend to think that our unassuming lives isolates us from the extraordinary. But I think that Mary's surprise visitor tells us otherwise. Mary wasn't a superstar. She wasn't living in the lap of luxury. Her hometown wasn't a bustling metropolis. The unexpected and the unimaginable can happen anywhere, to anyone. In the space between Elizabeth's story and Mary's story exist the impossible possibilities of God's abundance. In the space between a barren and elderly Elizabeth and the teenage Mary blooms a miracle so great that it testifies nothing is impossible for God. A barren woman can bear a child, a virgin can conceive. Doctors, nurses, and patients are astonished when a tumor shrinks, contrary to a bleak prognosis. The Lord can enter the world as a child. From the tomb can come resurrection. The Holy Spirit can empower the church for its worldwide mission. Because of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the Holy continues to provide plot twists by breaking into our lives to bring us closer to the completion of creation as the already and not yet reign of God. The Annunciation is, it's not only a past event. The Annunciation is a promise of the future, with a future tense. With God, nothing will be impossible. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Prepare the Way, O Zion. Before we go back out into the world for a few hours and come back this evening at 7 o'clock for the candlelight service, let me offer you a charge and a benediction. Do not be afraid, for God is with you and will strengthen you in your journey through Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Magnify the Lord and rejoice, for nothing is impossible with God. And the blessing of the God who creates, redeems, and restores be with you now and always. Amen.